Hello, everybody. Against all odds, we have returned. My name is Andy Clodfelter.
I'm Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to 90s Court.
Welcome. You survived episode 69, only to climb from the trenches to episode 70.
It was just like, it's something that just is like, never speak of this again. And just like, move on from that. So,
yes.
But yeah, thank you guys for joining us here. We're getting back into the swing of less sexy things. I guess it depends on who you ask. I don't know. I mean, these seem pretty sexy to me.
My thing this week is kind of sexy.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't know if I would tell you this
it's
guy.
Super not.
If you ever see a picture of fucking Gordon, my like the main character in my game. Okay. Anyways, we'll get to this later. So yeah, we're back and a lot of big news, 90s Court news, which we'll be going over here soon. But first off, Lisa, tell me about your week in the past 3 days since our Patreon episode.
Oh, yeah. We did a Patreon episode. It was Antiques Roadshow versus Pawn Stars. I almost said Palm Stars, but that was fun. I really enjoyed that episode. It was fun.
And like I said, it's a lot of fun a lot of the times when I get to watch stuff that I'm like, I don't mind watching this. And it was on in the background like all week. I watched the entire second season of the show. So good.
Since we last spoke, basically zero updates. I'm just very tired. I keep waking up before 6 a.m. for some reason, for absolutely no reason. So I am perpetually exhausted. How are you, Andy?
I mean, that sounds like me always. So yeah, also perpetually exhausted. And yet somehow, listen, fam, fam. We are both perpetually exhausted at all times, like zero sleep, 100%. Like I am to the point of like actual like physical illness as a result of my lack of sleep. Oof. And we still manage to come in here and bring you that hot juice every
hot, as my daughter says, milk juice.
Hot milk juice.
We're bringing it to you. So we have something to announce. But before we get there, I wanted to do our shout out to our patrons. We have a new Patreon supporter, and it is not just any supporter. It is a judge level, Troy.
Judge Troy, presiding. Judge Troy. All hail, all stand.
I'm not standing. I'm very tired. Troy, I'm standing in my heart. I hope that you feel it.
She is standing in her heart. I am physically standing. I just got up and my computer fell on the ground, but we'll make it work.
It was worth it, Judge Troy. And we also need to give a shout out to our bailiff levels. That would be Lindsay.
Whoop.
Anthony.
What?
Vincent.
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
Woohoo.
Michael.
Haha.
Cut to Clarissa. And Afton.
Afty.
I have to give mad props to Andy for coming in with the sound bites there. That was great. I would have not, if I tried to do that, I would have been like, after the second one, I'd be like, I
quit.
Have done, I forgot
it's gonna be,
how to make
we
sounds.
We love you.
Now.
Thank you. Yeah. That's like Lisa's only, like, in lieu of any ideas, it's just, we love you. Thank you.
Thank you. We love you every single time. Well, it's good. So to our Patreon supporters, thank you guys so much. We appreciate everything that you do. We thank you for supporting the show. We love you. And we hope you enjoy the exclusive episode this week. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And Troy will be in contact soon because as a judge, you get to choose an episode for us. So we will slide into your DMs.
We will
with
be
some
sliding
hot milk
into your
juice
DMs
soon.
With all that hot milk juice.
So Andy wanted to introduce something super special this week.
I do. This week. It turns out, it's like people have been asking, I know this is going to sound like a joke because like, people have been asking about it, sure. No, people really have been asking about it like on and off every once in a while, like since we started this show pretty much, about a merchandise. At least me.
I say no one cares. No one talks to me about nothing. That's not true. Emily talks to me. Shout out, Emily. Boop, 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 boop.
Shout out, Emily. Yeah. Merchandise. We have finally created a store via TeePublic. And honestly, like I knew it was pretty easy, but then Lisa basically was like, I said something. She's like, I'm going to go see if we can set one up. And like 2 minutes later, she's like, all right, it's up.
It's true.
It's like nothing.
Yeah. And then also, I at first just threw our traditional logo with like the 90s background on there. And Andy was like, I bought so much shit. And then like 20 minutes later, I was like, you're going to hate me because I made a different, better logo.
I still cannot forgive you. You have to understand, the new logo is so fucking good. It made me like, and here's the thing. I love the 90s Court original logo, but it's just like for a shirt, the 90s Court Stay Rad logo. If you guys haven't seen it yet on our social medias, which it's pretty much everywhere, please check it out. It is amazing. But you can get pretty much merch of either kind pretty much on anything. So
yes. And so for some reason, TeePublic's website is not easy to find. Like, you can't find, like, if you search 90s court, you won't find us. If you search 90s court stay ride, you can't find us. So, and for some reason, the URL got messed up. We're in works of changing that. So if you want to go directly to our store, it's tinyurl.com/TeePublic90s. So TeePublic90s. tinyurl.com/TeePublic90s, and you'll be directed directly to our shop where you can see the two different logo options, and you can see all the things that you can get it on. I like a face mask, a hoodie. I got a sweatshirt for myself, t-shirts, tote bags, mugs, phone cases, pillows. Like, it's on everything. So if you really love 90s court that much, you can super rep us if you'd like. And so awesome. We really thank TeePublic for having such an easy way to set up storefronts like that. So Absolutely. Go check it out. Yeah.
And the cool thing is also, like, they occasionally have these sales, because normally the shirts are like $20.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been lucky. They're currently in the middle of a sale. I think it's probably will be going on to on Monday when this is going on.
No, it was ending like this afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So
it's
if you hear this, this is cool.
I'm glad
late.
I brought it up then in that case.
I know.
So.
But don't worry. Keep an eye on it. It's all good. It's all good. What's that, Drake? Like, if you're reading this, it's too late. If you're hearing this,
you're dying.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Actually, it looks like, according to the math here, it looks like it would be good until 10 a.m. So if you hear this, you have like, if you hear this right when it comes out, you have like a couple hours to get in on that like 34% off or whatever. So
nice.
I will just say, as far as things that I've ordered for myself, I know a lot of other people have ordered things as well. I got a hoodie because I love hoodies. I have a hoodie that I wear like every single day, and I'm like, now it's going to be a 90s court one. I got a t-shirt, I got a pillow, and I got a mask. So just FYI, pretty dope stuff all around. You really should check it out and see what you can get to show your support and love. And we get a little piece of it too. So
yeah. Well, but most of all, you get to wear a dope ass t-shirt, which makes us so happy. But
some people just like hearing that we get a piece of it or whatever, but it's a very small piece of it. So
yeah. Ah, I see. Well, so again, that's tinyurl.com/TeePublic90s, and that's where you can find the shop. Now let's get into the show. And according to the notes, I am up first.
Yes,
okay. Scope this out. I am bringing up something today that I have literally never heard of. I never knew anybody that had it. Uh-huh. I've never seen it before today. Uh-huh. And it never existed as far as I'm concerned. But it apparently did, because there are about four sentences about this product on Wikipedia and a single video on YouTube. Okay? It existed. And apparently, a young 11-year-old boy named Richie Stachowski from the Bay Area in 1995 developed a device to allow you to talk to your friends underwater.
Okay.
And that device is aptly named Water Talkies.
Water Talkies.
You can Google it. You will find very little about this.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
He had the idea when he was traveling with his family to Hawaii, and he saw some fish underwater, and he would like come up for air and try to tell his dad, like, yo, check out this fish down below. And then he'd like be all like, well, now I can't find it because, you know, the ocean. And I wish I could have just told you this underwater. Bada bing, bada boom, water talkies. He was 11.
I'm looking at this right now. It looks like it's just like, almost looks like it would be a snorkel, like with kind of the thing that goes around your mouth with the mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. And then instead it's just like, it's a fucking, like, narrow horn.
Yes, so they're sold in a pair so that you and someone else can yell at each other.
Oh, thank
and
God.
So essentially they were like you said, like flat cones that connected to a mouthpiece that would allow you to just like yell shit at your friend underwater for some reason, and then come up and be like, cool, I totally understand that thing that you said underwater. I'm so glad we have this toy that we will use about twice and I will forget about forever. And apparently they were ordered and sold by Toys R Us at some point. I don't know if any other retailer had it, but Toys R Us did. And like the ending of the cone appeared to have had some kind of filter over it or like closure so that you wouldn't just be
I was going to say, I can see here the end is not like just open a hole or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm sure that happened anyway, because children, and like, I mean, those are all the notes I have, but like, it sounds cool. I'm so sad I never heard about this. I also know it would probably be pretty useless, but it's probably one of the most 90s things I've ever heard of. Just to have this, like, talk to your friend underwater thing. It's like, this is useless. I could hear you so much better if we both just came up. We can only be underwater for a short period of time anyway. We're holding our breath, and in fact, we're using all the air we have to talk to each other underwater.
But Lisa, like, do you remember, like the days, maybe you weren't, but, like, the days when you'd just be like, you're going to the pool because it's summer and you don't have to go to school, and you're going to the pool, and you're going to the pool, and you're going to the pool, and you're going to, and it's like all. So you're just there, like, all the fucking time. Like,
yes,
you are going to find new and creative ways to do absolutely anything different in the pool, even if it is pointlessly talking underwater when you could just get the fuck up
and just talk. Just do it above.
But
you,
it is kind of
so,
like,
much better.
It is kind of like cool, like, secret talk because nobody else can hear it, you know? So, I mean, that's one thing about it, is that, like, you're in this big open area, maybe. And instead you can be like, hey, I want to touch your boobs, like, under the water or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, like, because I think when we were in the 90s, we were younger. And so by the time, like, if we were in middle school or something, if there would have been, like, cuter girls or boys at the pool and you could get under there and tell your friend, like, he's so hot, or, like, I love Jonathan Taylor Thomas, or
right.
Whatever,
it's a big,
you can
secret.
Shout underwater.
It's good that they would say it underwater so it'd nobody,
like,
knows.
Yeah, I have to fart. And you just say it underwater.
And then you do it, and bubbles come, like, up.
Yeah, so, and it's just a crazy idea for a stupid-ass toy.
So this is a fucking 11-year-old, though. Like, here's the thing. When you were saying it was an 11-year-old who made this, like, I thought, like, sure, he thought up the idea, and then his parents fucking did it. Like, because an 11-year-old isn't fucking doing this, but yet he won an award. Like, I can't believe that shit. Like, that's insane that an 11-year-old made... Like, he couldn't have made it. He probably just sold his idea as a patent or whatever, and then people made it.
The video I watched looked like he found someone, like, some kind of inventor to work with to kind of make the prototype, and then that person ended up working with him, kind of for him, to make this and take it to market. And so I don't know how much money it got him, because I never saw this. And never, I mean, I lived in Texas my entire childhood in the 90s. You best believe I should have seen this, but we didn't grow up in a metropolitan area where there were Toys R Us's, so I don't, if that's only where it was sold, we just never saw it. But it just seems like such a cool, it's cool, because this kid, this was 95, he was 11, we were 10, so he's just 1 year older than us and smart, right. And I was just, like, picking my nose and watching Ren and Stimpy, and this guy was like, I want to talk to people underwater. It's like, no, I don't actually want the things that I scream underwater to be heard by anybody else. I'm usually just going underwater to scream, like I'm so depressed, I think, or like nobody loves
this,
me.
I mean, this sounds like a really good therapy device nowadays, actually.
But you don't want anyone to hear you. You gotta scream into the void. What is that? What was that roller coaster thing for the pandemic? They were like, please scream in your heart or something like that.
I don't remember that. I thought you were going to make a reference to Garden State, where they're literally screaming into a void.
I'm always Garden State, always screaming into the void. But no, there was some, like, roller coaster. I don't know if it was a meme or if it was real, but it was like, because of COVID, they didn't want, like, they wanted theme parks to still be open, but they didn't want you to scream and get all your spit particles on everyone. So, like, please scream in your heart. I was like, I feel that.
Yeah. Like, it's okay. So, I've been screaming my heart for years. So
mastered it. Thank you very much, roller coaster. I got you. But that's, yeah,
thanks for
water.
Permission.
Yeah, that's water talkies. I have no idea if they're still available. I don't think that they are. You can look it up. You could probably just do it yourself with some aluminum foil and some cardboard.
Oh, I'm sure you can get some knockoff version from Amazon. Like, there's no way that they don't make something. Like, they have an idea, and, like, some knockoff place can just make it. It's certainly available somewhere.
So that's something to do for your kids in the summer.
Well,
I guess. Have fun with the water talkies, but that's my thing, Andy. Nice. What you got?
All right, well, Lisa, so since you're normally in the wheelhouse of the musics and everything like that, I thought I would try at least something out here regarding music.
Okay.
I didn't have a soundbite queued up, which I realize now I have strong regrets about, but there was several songs back in the day that were just, like, they were most well-known because of just how absurd they are.
Mm-hmm.
And this one in particular was one that was, like, palatable, in my opinion, but in retrospect was just so freaking weird and had such weird popularity. And that song is called Peaches.
the presidents of the United States.
By the presidents of the United States of America, which is the most random collection of human beings ever. So yeah, I wanted to cover this. I really regret not queuing something up for this because there's so many good sound bites I could pull up on this.
Millions of peaches.
Yeah. So
millions of peaches.
Let's
wow.
see. So it was released as a single in February of 1996. Peaked at 29 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and 8 on the Modern Rock Tracks. I don't know what that is. Apparently it's a thing. Worldwide, though, it did considerably better, reaching number 1 in Iceland and top 20 in almost every other English-speaking country, which...
Excuse me?
Yeah. Which, okay. Again, I will tell you this. For rock music, rock music just never really got up there the way that a lot of other stuff did. Like, weirdly enough, you know what I mean? Like, we've covered, like, Foo Fighters and stuff, and mm-hmm. where we were surprisingly like, wow, I didn't realize they never were that high on the charts. But, like... They're not on like hot 40, you know, top 40 stations or anything like that. They're normally on dedicated rock channels most of the time. And so getting that high was actually pretty impressive given the song. This is a song definitely that I think was more for its novelty than anything because it was like, oh, how funny, this is goofy. So I do have a quick clip I wanted to pull up here just so people can remember because they'll hear it and they'll be like, oh, yeah, this song. And I will say, in the music video at that portion, that is when several ninjas come out and start attacking them.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So, literally the description of the song on Wikipedia, it's not a huge thing. They've got, like, their stats and everything like that on the top. But then in Wikipedia, the description is terrific. Because clearly, they even have a note above it. They're like, this seems like this was done via original research. And we'd really appreciate it if we could get some third-party research on this.
Oh, boy.
Because the description is... The song is about a man who talks about going to the country and eating, quote, a lot, end quote, of peaches. It also talks about canned peaches and peach pie. It describes the experience of crushing a rotten peach, taking a nap by the roots of a tree, and sticking a finger into the flesh of a peach. The end. That's the description of the song, which, I mean, I will say this, not inaccurate.
No, those are all, like that's an apt... At the judgment of the
those
song,
are
yes.
Part of the lyrics, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, when you were growing up, this song, were you told anything about what this song was about?
No. And in fact, so 96, I was 11, didn't know a lot about anything. And so I wouldn't have thought about it at all. Okay. I don't think I've ever given it the thought that I needed to until this exact moment.
So here's the thing is this is a song that... like I said, it was the novelty originally, and then all of a sudden it became like this song that was just so normal to hear on the radio and stuff that it just like kind of blended in the background. You didn't even think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was told forever ago, and I think everybody that I know at least believe this, was that this was peaches were supposed to be a sexy thing.
Yeah, they are now. They are those things.
So no, not those things. Other things. Just about... sexy times with women's. It was supposed to be an innuendo for that, and a lot of the things he said were supposed to be innuendo of things he wanted to do with the peach and everything like that, but were actually mm-hmm. Something else. So, however, apparently that's either not true or the artist is maybe not really wanting to tell everybody about that. According to Chris Ballew, the lead singer, it wasn't. He said that he wrote the song Peaches about a girl he once had a crush on. He allegedly wrote this song after sitting under a peach tree she had in her yard while waiting for her to arrive so that he could finally let her know that he liked her. So I'm guessing this was a girl he hadn't really, wasn't dating or anything, just was like, I kind of like you. Which is a much more wholesome thing than the thing that I was told as a child. Was what this was about.
So someone told you that when you were a child?
Oh, I mean, like, it was just, like, everybody considered it public knowledge, like, in high school, like, grades, like, middle school and high school and stuff like that, that it was about the sexy times. So, anyways.
Oh, my gosh. I poked my finger down inside. Yeah. Made a little room for an ant to hide.
I think that's the big lyric that made people think that.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, you can't use the peach emoji unless you're
yeah.
meaning to. So these things are off limits.
So as I mentioned, the music video was a little bit weird, but I mean, you know, not really any weirder than the song. Basically, the band is performing in an orchard filled with peach trees, but they weren't normal peach trees. They were peach can trees. They were just, the trees were just filled with canned peaches.
So good. They were such a, they were a weirder band than I gave credit for. Like Lump. Lump came out, I think, before Peaches.
I was going to say, I was like, I know they weren't a one-hit wonder. People would definitely mention this song a lot more. I forgot Lump. That was the other one that I'm really familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Lump is good.
So during the music video, they keep seeing dark figures like moving in the forest, and they kind of start looking concerned, but they're just like singing and playing guitars like normal, but kind of like looking around as they keep showing these dark figures moving. And of course, as I mentioned, during the song's instrumental break, that is when the band is attacked by a group of ninjas attempting to capture them. But they ended up fighting off the ninjas, and at the end, you show all three of them punching them, and clearly they've won.
Oh, boy.
So.
90s music videos.
Yeah. It's rough.
It's rough, to say the least, yeah.
But basically, the song is them saying, moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches, like six times.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times during the song.
Yes.
In a very chill tone. And then each verse is a heavier breakdown where they break down a little bit heavier and the guitar gets a little bit louder and stuff with more detail about what he'd like to do with said peaches. And then, of course, at near the end, there's the millions of peaches, peaches for me, millions of peaches, peaches for free. And that's it. That's the entire song, basically.
You ever been to a farmer's market? Peaches are not free, sir.
Peaches are expensive.
Peaches are quite, they're quite popular at our farmer's market in the springtime. Thank you, sir.
Apparently just the land he's going to, there's just so many peaches. So
going to the country. We don't live in the country. That's why we have to pay for peaches.
That's just every country you move, when you move to the country anywhere, it's just peaches everywhere.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's Peaches.
That's Peaches by the Presidents of the United States.
Of America.
Of America. Oh, well, it was also of America?
Yeah. United States it would be America. Funny if it was just, it should just be called POTUS.
POTUS?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they go by that now. Probably not. Probably couldn't. Not. Probably not anymore. Definitely did not lock down the at POTUS Twitter handle for sure. Oh, fucking boy. Well, thank you for reminding us of the Presidents of the United States. There's one song from that era I want to talk about, which I may bring up next week because, I want to talk about it so bad. I will. In fact, that's my thing next week. I just decided on that. Bada bing, bada boom.
Okay. Dib.
So, all right. Cool. Well, thank you for that. We have our things out of the way now. And now for the big tamale. That's not. The big tamale is coming up next after the break. We're going to do a couple of commercials real quick. We'll be back with poll results and we'll get to the court case. Okie doke.
Tamales.
Tamales. Hey, 90s Court listeners, Lisa here. I'm here to talk to you really quickly about a product that I absolutely love and I've used every single day for years and years and years. Let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. Perhaps you're miserable because your partner snores like crazy, or maybe you're a night shift worker who can't get proper sleep during the day, or maybe you live in a really loud and busy downtown area. There's hope for you, and it comes in the form of sleep phones from Acoustic Sheep. I'm not lying when I say I've been using them religiously for years, and they're the sole reason I'm not a crazy person suffering from insomnia. Sleep phones are just ultra-soft headphones and a headband that are extremely bed-friendly. Side sleepers can also rejoice, for you can comfortably block out the sounds of the world while getting some soothing, noise-free sleep without hurting your ears. They even have wireless Bluetooth options, so you don't get tangled up in cords overnight. I personally connect mine to my phone each night and listen to some white noise to drown out my partner's snores. I'm telling you, I've gifted them to night shift nurses, in-laws, basically anybody with ears that values a good night's sleep. They even have options now that come preloaded with binaural beats or deeply relaxing ASMR content. So you can find something that's just right for you and maybe not even have to connect to your phone at all if you don't want to. Andy and I both use these now, and we'd love to help you get some rest too. Go to sleepphones.com and use the code 90scourt to get $10 off your order of $39 or more. That's sleepphones.com and the code is 90scourt. Sweet dreams. Welcome back from the break. Hope you are ready. Jazzercised.
I hope you guys did a lot of jazzercise during the break.
I ate almonds. That's she almost did. There. I did eat almonds. They were not very good. But you don't care about my almond intake. What you care about, I hope, is the poll results from last week.
It's your poll result intake.
That's true. Well, you need a hefty dose of
borderline
vitamin 69. last week was episode 69. It was Striptease versus Showgirls. We did not fully understand anything about what was happening.
No.
Before we chose that. That's all my bad. My good, maybe, this, depending upon.
Yeah, I would say this is one where we entered into it having no expectations whatsoever or any even inclination of how this would go.
Yep. Turns out we found out pretty easily. Facebook, 82 to 18% for Showgirls. Twitter, 74.3 to 25.7% Showgirls. And Instagram, y'all just went straight 50-50.
Instagram's like, we don't care about either of these. Please leave us
Instagram
alone.
Yeah, Instagram was like, please don't make us think about these movies. Too bad. Yeah. We did. But I would say, even though Instagram seemed a little indecisive, the winner is Showgirls. Take
by
that, Elizabeth Berkley's boobies. Yeah.
Her boobies. I mean, and I, from what I saw, like I said, it's just, I guess for me, the surprising thing was I was like, how many people saw this, like, NC-17 movie? Like, that's the weird thing for me. That feels wild to me that many people mm-hmm. saw it.
Yeah, I can't. There's definitely no way I would have come into contact with that movie during the 90s. And mercifully didn't come into it until I was in my 30s. So that feels that feels about the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's last week.
Yeah. Luckily.
Let's talk about.
Things always change. Things are moving on. Mm-hmm. Things evolve, and sometimes you just gotta bust out your controllers.
Yes.
Because something just came across my desk. Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum. Ba-dum-bum.
That's right.
It's court case,
video
baby.
Game time. It's video game week.
Video games. So yeah, we have this thing. It's always one of these things where like we'll keep doing stuff, and then we're like, we're always on the fence on a week of like, what should we cover, and. It's always like, what was something we haven't covered in the longest? And it's been like almost 20 episodes since we did a video game. So I was like, video game dibs. And yes. These are considered, so this is wild because I think these games maybe weren't played as much as some of the other games we've covered by as many people
mm-hmm.
just in mass, but they are considered two of the best games of the 90s, like by far, like they are on top. The reason I picked these two is because they were the closest that were all on this top 5 to top 25 list, and they were always in the top 5 together.
Ooh, I did not know that. That's
these are some games that are high caliber games that absolutely changed, quote unquote, the game as well.
Yeah, awesome. Well, so this week we're doing Half-Life Woo. Versus Silent Hill.
Yeah.
So take that. Drink that up. And so Andy is going to get to go first and tell us about Half-Life. I know nothing about Half-Life.
Nothing. Hey, everybody. I'm Andy. I'm the one she was talking about. So I'm covering Half-Life this week. And as you suspect, I have been watching a game walkthrough. I'm actually not finished with it and plan to finish it soon. I didn't get to see the ending, and I'm kind of bummed about that. But I'm looking forward to it soon. You guys won't get to find out about. So Half-Life came out in 1990. Let me see. Came out November 19th of 1998 to Windows and Linux, and later on would come out on PlayStation 2. I'm genuinely surprised by that. I didn't realize that. I'm guessing the game was not very good comparatively, and the scores and rankings that they show on this would agree with that. Because they were. I mean, the functionality of a computer, you're going to have so much more access to different controls and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Speaking of ratings, it's scored 97% on Metacritic. 5 stars on basically everything else that had 5 stars, 9.4 on GameSpot, and 9.5 on IGN. So it basically crushed it everywhere.
Hell yeah.
So this was a first-person shooter game developed by Valve, which was Valve's debut game. And my goodness, they would go on to do a lot of other super rad stuff, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
You may have heard of them.
Yeah, you might have heard of them from a few other games. Maybe if you didn't play Half-Life, you definitely have heard of some of the other games that they made.
Mm-hmm.
It received acclaim for its graphics, its realistic gameplay, and seamless narrative. The graphics, 100%. That was like the first thing I noticed because, like I said, I've played this game a little bit back in the day. I just wasn't a big fan of one-player games. Most of the time, I always preferred multiplayer games, but
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine had it, and so we played it. I played it a little bit or watched them play it a good amount. So let's see, lost my spot. It won 50 PC Game of the Year awards.
Dang. Dang. That's intense. And when did this come out? 96?
98.
98, okay.
And it's considered one of the best, one of the most influential first-person shooter games of all time, and one of the best video games ever made. So the first-person shooter thing, I'll go over that in a bit, but I wanted to say also, I think I mentioned about the realistic gameplay and seamless narrative. Like, this was one of the first, I'm sure there were other ones that had probably existed that did this too, but they combined so many different aspects of games that just weren't really available at the time, at least from games that I'd played. Like, going over and clicking the fucking toaster and something happened. You know, like, just, like, all the stuff that you can interact with in the game and everything like that, mm-hmm. that's more akin to games nowadays, you know, over the past 10 years or whatever. Open world, of course. I mean, thinking about, like, Mario 64 was touted for how big of an open world it was. That was 2 years before this game came out, and this game was so much more complex than Mario 64, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, because that's the thing, is, like, back in, like, the Super Nintendo days before, you know, like, N64 and the PlayStation thing came out, you know, just a few years before, games, basically, they had to make them harder rather than longer, just because they're like, we don't really have room to make the games that big or that in-depth or anything like that. Even just pretty much system games, period, are like that, because there's just such limited storage capacity. This game is super long, like, and there's so much you do in this game. Like, watching this playthrough, he is just, it's not like you're going back to the same places over and over again. You're just going through this world that is just enormous and massive. And it all makes perfect sense along with the storyline that you received about where he is and what he's doing.
Okay.
So as I mentioned about the first person shooter game and how influential it was there, it spawned so many other games that would also be influential. I'm sure there's others beyond this, but these are the ones that I immediately was like, yes, I played these. Yes, I played these. Counter-Strike, for those of you who are not aware, Team Fortress, also another huge multiplayer game. These are huge multiplayer games in the early days of the internet. I mean, when the internet finally became to the point where people could actually play online because their internet was good enough to do that against multiple other people.
Right.
And Half-Life, Opposing Force. Particularly Counter-Strike and Team Fortress would have huge impacts on future games. I mean, Team Fortress, if you think about it like this, so this was back in like 99, 2000, was basically Overwatch, which is one of the biggest games ever as well, if you've heard of Overwatch.
I am familiar with Overwatch, yeah.
And Counter-Strike is basically the original Call of Duty multiplayer games. The only difference I would say that Call of Duty really perfected over that is, I mean, the aiming way that they do in newer games is so much more complex and a lot better than these older ones, where this is a little bit more like a James Bond game where you just kind of like have to just turn and there's like a little cursor that goes over guys, versus holding down to aim, and, you know, like you hold down one thing to aim and then another thing to shoot, that kind of thing. But again, everything was pretty top notch. So I just wanted to mention a few of those games because, like I said, in addition to this game being hugely influential and massive at the time, it created all these other games that Valve made as well that were huge. I will say, though, that I believe this game at the time took a good amount from games like Quake and Doom, which I'm sure you're familiar with. It had a lot of, it had very much the same feel in a lot of ways, even in such regards as like the guns and stuff that you would use and the way that it looked on the screen. But obviously hugely improved graphics compared to those games. And most importantly, the storyline and the way that it just flowed. It wasn't like you stopped and you read a note or anything like that. Just it just was like seamlessly, like all of a sudden you're talking to this doctor real quick. He tells you a quick thing. It's not like cutscenes or anything. You just talk to this guy and then you guys go running on to the next portion. So now, as far as this game, Half-Life is not only a first-person shooter where you shoot him up all the way during the game. You're killing a lot of guys with a lot of different, very cool guns. But also having to solve various puzzle games and problem solve to get from one place to another, avoiding immense danger everywhere. Because like getting from one room to another, getting doors open and everything like that, you know, having to find a fucking, like there's random security officers and doctors that'll be around, or scientists that'll be around that you can bring with you. And they'll follow you for a while. But the problem is they keep dying. Like, they'll just, like, they get, like, a bad guy shows up and they just immediately die. But you can have those guys come with you, and sometimes they can open doors. And of course, the security guards can shoot guns. So,
okay.
But I want to get to the plot of the game. And again, I'm going to go over just a little bit. I don't want to go too far into the paint on this. So again, I watched a walkthrough. There were so many out there that said no commentary, and it was like they were bragging, like, hey, this is a good thing. And I'm like, I want one with commentary because it's not fun, at least for me. It's not fun just to watch one without somebody talking during it.
Okay.
So I found one that was from 2012, and this guy had never played the game before, so it was actually pretty fun because it wasn't like, here's some tips and tricks on this game. I'm like, I don't want tips and tricks. I just want you to be funny and kind of weird. And it was this Canadian guy who was probably in his early 20s or something like that. And it was actually pretty fun. So the game begins. You're riding on a magnetic monorail tram going all the way through the Black Mesa facility. So you get the vibe. This place is super, super secretive, super high tech, and just basically has everything. It's supposed to be kind of based off of like Area 51 or whatever in that area. So you're going through this, and it's like, probably like a 5 to 7 minute sequence just of you standing, like you can move around on the monorail, but you're basically just, you know, stuck there, you know, while
for like 5 or 7 minutes.
Yeah. But it's doing these overview. This is like the beginning of the game. So it's doing like announcements and stuff coming over the intercoms as you're going through that are kind of like a seamless way of telling you a little bit about the world and the game that you're, the place that you're at, without it just being like somebody debriefing you on what this whole thing is and what the mission is and making it seem really overly fake, you know? So it's like, in this way, it's a very seamless way of you learning about where you're at, what kind of stuff they do here and everything.
Okay.
So then you finally get to the place and you get off and you find out that you are Gordon Freeman. Which I will say this, I like to call him Gordon because every time I start to say Gordon Freeman, I almost say Morgan Freeman.
I was going to say, so, from here on, he is Morgan Freeman.
I was going to say, I just want to exclude his last name because I can remember Gordon easily, but the second I add Freeman in there, I'm almost about to say Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly you're a scientist. You're much younger than the other guys there because all these guys that you interact with. I will say this, as far as the scientists, they basically have a mold for like 4 different scientist appearances, and they just have shitloads of them everywhere. So you'll see the same dude pretty frequently in different places, but that's okay. But you're a lot more of a hands-on scientist versus the other guys who are like kind of just studying and, you know, mathematics and, you know, computers and stuff. So you're running late for a test, and believe me, you'll be told this by random NPCs like 400 times between getting off the monorail, getting your special radiation suit, and getting to the test site. Just every guy you'd run into, and you'd just be like, hey, how are you? And then he's like, aren't you late? And you're like, fuck, all right, fine, Jesus.
Yeah.
So there's this super important test that's going on this day where they're dealing with some laser beams. That's all the best I can say.
Obviously.
And some very hazardous chemicals. So naturally you can see that things are about to go very well. So you're in there in your really cool suit, which, you know, is a pretty dope suit, and it kind of gives you, it's very lucky you were in it because that's probably the only reason you live through this game. So obviously the experiment goes very, very wrong. There's some explosions and everything, and all of a sudden you see blackness for a second as the room disappears from you, and you show up and you're in like this dark void, and then all of a sudden it lights up a little bit and you see these like gross alien-esque figures, like little dog, like green dog things. The bad guys in this were super well designed. Like, they're very unique bad guy looking things. And so it's very clear to you that you're kind of jumping through to a different dimension, and then you come back, and evidently what this thing did was, despite the fact that the name is Half-Life and you're thinking, oh, this is like Chernobyl and everybody's going to get cancer, instead, because that would be a less exciting game, just like trying to cure people of their radiation poisoning, this instead ripped a tear in basically the fabric of reality, and now there are like these horrible creatures coming from this different reality or this different planet, basically.
Awesome.
Into this facility. And your job, basically, is you need to get to the surface and get help. So through the rest of it, like I said, I don't want to go over the entire storyline, but like I said, there's never really cut scenes. You don't really have cut scenes or talk to anybody. It's just like when they said seamless storyline, it's just like there's no like stopping to talk to someone and then you cut to like your conversation with them. It's always like maybe some random scientist will tell you something. You'll hear an announcement over the intercom that like, hey, by the way, we need to kill all the scientists now because we can't have any survivors telling about what happened here. Because during the game, you're fighting aliens, and then later on, all of a sudden, there's army military people coming in that are trying to kill you as well. So, super cool situation.
Very fun.
It does make it fun, though, sometimes when, like, you walk into a room and there's both aliens and, like, troops there, and obviously they're not on the same team, so you just get to watch them kill each other, and then you come clean up whoever's left. The guns are super dope. Like I said, you get obviously a lot of really cool weapons that are human weapons, and then you get a few unique items that are clearly from the other side. Some cool like laser guns and ones that shoot out like little bugs and stuff that'll like attack people and everything. So that's one cool thing, is they made it very enjoyable there. Let's see. So you're solving various problems to get from place to place, murdering aliens, humans, and some robots, and it just seamlessly changes with every new enemy that's introduced. After spending the entire time inside the facility and around it, near the end, you end up going through a series of portals, and now you are actually on the planet where the alien species came from. I haven't finished the walkthrough, like I said, but I have a feeling the ending is you end up destroying the species or something like that, or shutting down the portal so that
hopefully
they can't come
shit
to Earth anymore, which is a big step up from him just needing to exit the facility to tell people about it. So anyways, like I said, the graphics on this game and the interactability of this game is what makes it crazy for 1998. There's so many games today that aren't that much more complex than this, honestly. Like some aiming things have changed. The graphics are a little bit better now, obviously. Obviously, being on PC, this is going to be much better than games on like N64 or PS2.
How dare you?
Sorry.
You're right.
Factually. You're right. But the incredible open world of this game, a long game, which as I mentioned earlier, so much more content, so much more things to do. It's just more than you get from any other games at this time. Watching this, I'm like, I'd like to play it. I probably would play one of the later games because they've come out with like Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. It's actually Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2. And there's a new one that came out in 2020, Half-Life Alyx. That's A-L-Y-X. So anyways, Half-Life, love it. Booyah.
Dang. I really want to watch a playthrough of it, or at least Jack was like, my husband's a game developer, and when I mentioned this case to him, he was like, pretty good. He's like, that's a good matchup.
That's a lot coming from Jack about this show. So
that's true. Yeah, he understood the through line there. So thank you for that. I am covering a game I never played because I'm a baby person. I'm a scaredy person. I'm covering Silent Hill, guys. And it originally dropped in February of 1999, the scariest month of all, let's be honest. If you are somehow, even though I've never played Silent Hill, I saw the movie, I'm familiar with the franchise. If you are not familiar with either somehow, it's a survival horror, kind of like combat/puzzle game featuring one of the scariest settings of all time, small town nowhere.
I get it.
Let that sink in. You get it. So Silent Hill, the video game, is thought to be based off of two factual towns, Crushing, Maine. Crushing, Maine and Snoqualmie, Washington. Mm. Fun fact, I got engaged at Snoqualmie, Washington. It is a spooky-ass little town. Snoqualmie is pretty spooky, but the movie itself, which came out in 2006, was inspired more by Centralia, Pennsylvania, which is what
saying.
So there's some kind of crazy shit going on in Pennsylvania. But, like, I watched 4.5 hours of someone doing a playthrough. I didn't even think to look for someone with commentary. There was no commentary. I watched 4.5 hours of silence.
Wow.
And just the audio of this game. And it was a pretty, like, I've been watching this on like every night for about 4 or 5 nights now in pieces. And I've had a lot of nightmares this week. And that's probably why I'm very tired. So don't say we didn't ever do anything for the show, because I am suffering today because of this show. There, it is a very dense game. I'm going to do the best I can to condense all of it into in here for you. So the long and short of the plot of Silent Hill is this. Harry Mason, a widower, and his adopted daughter, Cheryl, head to the resort town of Silent Hill after Cheryl begs.
Excuse me?
It's a resort town. I don't get it, dude. And like she was like, we have to go. And he was like, well, his wife, Jody, had died a few years earlier, and he's been struggling with grief and depression. He was like, you know what? Sure, let's go to Murderville Resort Town. Let's do it. But of course, I don't think it's like known as this by the time they get there. But whatever the case is, nearing the outskirts of Silent Hill, Harry swerves to miss hitting a girl walking across the street, and he crashes, knocking himself unconscious. And when he wakes up, he realizes that his adopted daughter, Cheryl, has disappeared, and he must venture out into Silent Hill to find her. And of course, Silent Hill, if you recall from the movie, the anything, it's just foggy. And snowing, and well, they're saying it's snow in the video game. I believe in the movie it was ash, because I was like, isn't this ash? And everything I read online said snow. So
yeah, because like I said, the Centralia, Pennsylvania thing, the reason it's linked to that is because like Centralia is a town that basically a mine caught on fire back in like the 1950s, and it's literally still burning today. And the entire town has been evacuated for years because it's just. It's falling in on itself and everything.
It's the coolest. The coolest, scariest shit ever. So he begins walking into Silent Hill, which appears to be abandoned. And he sees Cheryl kind of off in the distance, but she takes off running, and this is where things go badly. Yeah, so he runs down a small residential road, Harry does, and into an alley, and then the skies begin to go dark, and the sirens start blaring, and soon Harry realizes the entire environment has just turned into something very dark and awful. And so let me say this. I have always been afraid of sirens, like tornado sirens. Even though I am a storm chaser, I do not like tornado sirens. They scare the shit out of me. When we lived in Kansas, we lived very close to the tornado sirens in town, and they would test them about once every 2 weeks.
First Tuesday of the month.
It was the worst. It was like Wednesday at noon every other week or something here like that, and it was rough.
First Tuesday of the month, 10 a.m. without clockwork.
It's like 4 in the morning. Why the hell not? Let's do it for fun. So for me, the sirens going off not only indicate something bad happening in the game, they also spook my whole butt because it's just a scary sensation for me. My whole butt is so spooked. And so once all this happens, we are in the darker realm. I want to say they called it the other world. I could be confused, but the ground is essentially replaced by metal grating and platforms, and all the walls are now rusted and like awful chain link fences with barbed wire on top, and everything's covered in blood, and it's awful. And so at this point, I'm going to start some stream of consciousness of watching the video game play, and then we'll go to the ending. So Harry goes into this cafe where he meets Sybil, an officer from another nearby town, and she's like, here's a gun, like, don't die, okay, bye. And then like as soon as she goes out, a fucking like pterodactyl or something slams into the cafe and starts flying around, and he has to shoot this like pterodactyl thing, and he was like, whoa, what? And then there's a radio inside the cafe, and it starts blaring Static. And that's when, or I should say, that happened before the pterodactyl came in. And so that basically sets the tone that anytime you hear static in the game, or like the radio begins to make a noise, an enemy is near. Basically a monster. Mm-hmm. Let's not say enemy. They're all monsters in this game. So he goes exploring around Silent Hill and finds some like skin dogs or some shit who are like literally in the size of, in the game, they're like the size of a Prius. They're enormous. They are so big. I learned they are called groaners. And that's a thing. And so the pterodactyl-style zombie monster thing I talked about earlier, those are called air screamers, and they are everywhere inside Silent Hill. Like, it was awful watching this person play, because no matter where they walked, you might get about 4 or 5 seconds of a reprieve of no, like, monster sound. And then they would just keep coming up. And then you'd run past this horrible skinned-ass dog who's trying to lunge at you. It's the worst. And so a lot of gray skies, a lot of loud radios, flying vulture zombies and whatnot. And I forgot to mention that I believe at the beginning of this, whenever the first time the sirens go down is when Harry's like down in a gutter, or not gutter. He's like down in this area under the ground, and he finds like a gutted body hanging from a fence. and then these weird, like, stabby dick-sucking monsters come out. And I say that because they're, like, the exact wrong height, and they lunge at you. Oh. And they lunge, and then they, like, hang on to you, and it looks like they're trying to,
I want your wiener.
They want it, but, like, that's what they look like. They're not. I don't remember what those guys are called. And so you enter the abandoned school, which is super cool right off the bat. Not terrifying. And it's just full of those junk-eating monsters, okay? I think they're meant to be, like, children, which is worse somehow. There are horrible fans everywhere. They're giant. There's like a rat armadillo crab thing. I found out those are called called creepers. They're
Did
like
you say rat like, armadillo crab thing?
I don't know how else to call them.
No, that's great.
They look like horrible insects, but not all the way insects. Like they're just super creepy. So you're looking around. There, just like with your game, there are puzzles that you have to figure out. You have to get out of there all these fucking keys. At one point, Harry enters a room and there are like dead people chained to the wall. It's like, cool, that is cool. Let's go in there. This is like a very fun place. Let's keep going in there. And he goes in there. There's like another dead body hanging from a wall. That's just like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm not sleeping for several nights. Then he finds a room with some phones in them or in it. And then it's ringing. And Cheryl, his adopted daughter, and she's like, Dad, help me, help me. And like, that's unnerving. And so he comes to some place where a key is hiding in a hole. This made me laugh really hard. He comes to a place where like a key is hiding in a hole, but he's like trying to open a drainage valve and decides to plug up this hole. But then he like kneels down, looks at the hole and says, nothing special. And I felt really attacked in that moment. Just because, yeah.
So. I'm looking through pictures of the game, and one of the things that's down here was, it just says, he looks at something and clicks on it, and it says, Bible, nothing special. And I kind of like that.
Nothing special. That's right. Yeah, his nothing special is like, man, that's savage on all fronts. Yeah. There's like a turnstile puzzle where you end up going further into hell, and it's the worst thing Good. Ever. And there's like a bitch who's on fire, and then suddenly like a giant salamander dog with a mouth that opens like instead of top and bottom, it's side to side. It's awful. It's like one of the worst things I've ever seen. Mm. And then the sirens go on, and it's the worst thing. Flash forward to we end up at a church. This is where messaging about the occult ramps up. We'll get into that here in a little bit. There are a lot of, and then shortly thereafter, we get all of the drunk, horny, stabby doctors and nurses. Now they're not drunk or they're not horny or anything, but like when you shoot them, they're like, and then you know,
is
they're
it
all,
like they're zombies or something almost.
They've been infected with like a parasite. I think they're called puppet nurses, and so what I believe is that they've got these things on their back, which I believe indicates that they've been infected somehow.
Okay,
I don't really
gotcha.
Know how that
like
works.
There's some kind of like parasite that's kind of controlling them.
Exactly. Okay. And then there's like a not dead nurse named Lisa. Cool. And okay. She talks to us about the occult behavior and a lot of people in town. There's another big boss of his name's Twin Feeler. And he's like a trimmer style insect that jumps in and out of the ground. It's awful. In my notes, I say, who's this Alessa chick? Well, we'll get to that. shortly after, in the dark, we're being bombarded by like what I can only describe as like Yeti bear men.
Sure.
They're fucking fast. I found out they're called rompers. Those guys I did not
rompers.
Like. Rompers. Like, I...
Most adorable clothing.
I was like, I've made myself rompers. They're cute. Those rompers, not cute.
No.
And they are terrifying in the game because they're so fast and they're so big and they just lunge at you and it's awful. I'm neglecting a lot. There's so many doors. But like at this point, I just want to get to the explanation of the game because it's really hard and it's kind of, like, it's just complex. It's really dense. Mm-hmm. So bear with me, okay? At some point, Sybil, the sheriff or the officer from another town from earlier, she gets infected with the parasite and you meet her in the spookiest place and find her in the state. You're at the fucking carousel of the amusement park at night. Okay. So you see her and you're like, Sybil. And she stands up and she starts shooting you. She like lifts the gun up real slowly and just starts shooting at you. And it's awful because you can't really ever get away from your enemies. You kind of have to just circle them there's no way to hide. You just have to confront them. And so this is important because at this point you have to decide, are you going to kill her or save her from the parasite? And this is important because this decision determines at least in some part, the ending of your game. Okay. So the playthrough I watched was called Good Plus, which is the best one, and Sybil was saved.
Dude.
You did not kill her. You killed the parasite on her back. What's up?
I just want to say, this is almost exactly like Resident Evil was when we covered that. Remember, because there was like there was so many different endings at the end. So anyway, sorry.
This one, yeah, this one's a lot. I'm not gonna go through all of them, but like let's skip to the big shit, okay? Oh, hold on, real quick. To save Sybil, you have to use like a vial of liquid found earlier at the hospital to get the parasite out of her.
Sure.
And so once you do this, let's just skip to the end. You learn later that the girl we've been periodically and the girl that Harry swerved to miss when he first entered Silent Hill, that girl was named Alessa, who was abused and traumatized as a child and eventually set on fire for the sake of her mother's cult in order to rebirth the cult's god. So that's a lot to take in right there. And it makes total sense. Easy. I am skipping such an incredible amount of information, but this is the highest level I could get to. Harry's daughter, Cheryl, the one who ran away at the beginning, was summoned to Silent Hill by Alessa in order to reunite Alessa's soul, because Alessa's soul was split during the summoning of the occult's god, and Cheryl is the missing part of her soul. And so if Alessa can get Cheryl back, she can kill herself and end the torment. So Alessa used astral projections of herself, to like guide Harry throughout the game to get to her. So this gets super in the weeds, and I'm just going to run through the ending, which I saw.
So the ending that I saw.
Go ahead.
Sorry. To confirm, she's trying to help you get there because she wants to then enter into Cheryl and then have Cheryl kill herself.
She needs Cheryl to enter into herself. She needs Cheryl to enter into Alessa because Cheryl is half of her soul, or like a part of her soul. And she's just been, she's like, she was burned
I don't need the whole summary. I'm just asking, in this situation, does Cheryl die from what? So this is Alessa's not doing a good thing?
I'm not exactly sure. This got really confusing at the end. Okay. So, but essentially, Alessa wants to die because they've been keeping her alive.
Sure.
Because the summoning of the god did not totally work because Alessa split her soul, but she's been burned beyond death, basically, but has been kept alive in order to get this right. And so she's like, can you fucking kill me, if I understand correctly? So the ending I saw had like a demonic incubus explodes from like this white deity version of Alessa after she's had some potion thrown on her. And so this demonic boss, the final person, is like this like horrifying... Look up like bad incubus. I don't remember what it's called, like demonic incubus from Silent Hill 1. It's pretty scary. It's a big flying devil looking monster. It's not cool. He shoots lightning down at you, and as far as I could tell, there was no way to dodge the lightning. You just had to take the damage and then re-up, get a few shots in, take damage, re-up your health, and vice versa until you kill him. It's super scary, even for 99, even for the PlayStation 1. This was pretty scary. And so at the end of this, shit. Harry is, when he kills this incubus, he's given a baby?
Excuse me?
As you do, he's given a baby who is revealed to be Heather Mason, who's like mentioned, I think revealed in like Silent Hill 3. And they escape Silent Hill with the baby. That's the good plus ending. There's good plus, there's good, there's bad plus, there's bad. And then finally, for the fifth option, UFO.
Oh, good. Just real curveball.
Where is it? I have it opened somewhere. Where's the UFO ending? Son of a bitch. Maybe I don't have it opened, but the UFO ending is just like, oh, here it is. When Harry uses a channeling stone for the fifth time on top of the lighthouse, a group of UFOs is seen in the sky. As the UFOs land, the cutscene changes the style to a roughly animated picture show. So from a video game, we go to animated picture show. Harry tries to ask the aliens if they have seen his daughter, but is shot down and brought into their spaceship. The UFOs take off and the credits roll in a fashion similar to the 3D billing effect commonly used for horror/supernatural projects. So... that's an option. So you get these other endings because there's another character that I didn't talk about named, it's just another guy, Kaufman. His name is Kaufman. Uh-huh. If you help his side project or his side quest, then you get different endings. If you don't, then you get much different endings. Okay. But if you do everything exactly right, you get a good plus, and you get a baby. Hooray. and that Silent Hill. My game got an 86% Metacritic score. It's scary. I don't know if it was Silent Hill 1 or 2 that I began playing, but this was the game that I began playing on my own one day alone in my apartment. I was walking into town, and then I saw my first monster, and I paused the game, and I walked away.
And it's like, I had to call. Interesting. Well, I'll see you.
That's a wrap on me. I had to call a male friend and have him come over to my apartment and turn off my PlayStation because I was too afraid.
That's why I was surprised when you said you never played it, because like I remember you telling that story in an early episode.
Yeah, it's not cool. I began playing. And I said, this is not for me. I cannot do this to myself. We even tried. I think we talked about this. The playable trailer for there's like this one playable trailer for this one game that got canceled. It wasn't Silent Hill, but it was, wasn't it Resident Evil? It was some other super scary ass franchise. Maybe it was, I wish I could remember what it was, but it got, the only version of the game was super scary and it was on a playable trailer and it was super scary. And like, I tried playing it and I was like, I just cannot do this. I cannot do this.
I thought you said playable trailer, I was thinking of like one of those discs you could get from Pizza Hut where it had like an intro version of a game. Like I remember Tony Hawk Pro Skater, you could get that from Pizza Hut when you got a pizza.
Yeah.
It's like an extra thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to see. It was from Kojima. It doesn't matter. I'll have to look at it. It came out in 2004. Oh, it was. Okay, it was a Silent Hill playable trailer. It was an interactive teaser trailer. And then look that up. That shit is scary. The video for it on YouTube is one of the scariest things I've ever seen. Silent Hill franchise, I cannot. I'm tremendously thankful that Pyramid Head was not available in Silent Hill 1 because it would have made me... Sorry, Siri thought I was talking to her. Pyramid Head is one of the scariest characters ever. And I'm tremendously thankful he was not in Silent Hill 1 because I could not have handled it.
Yeah,
so.
Pyramid. I hear that phrase and immediately know what you're talking about, which is so weird that's...
He's the worst.
Yeah.
Ugh. But that's Silent Hill. I know I skipped a lot. It's a dense-ass game. I'm sure it was awesome. The graphics look like trash, but it was 99 in PlayStation 1. So that for, I think, all things considered, the fact that it was still scary, even though it was that old, props. So that's Silent Hill. Did you ever play it?
I did not, but I mean, like, just from your description and everything, it's one of those things that a lot like Resident Evil, it's just like, it's so cool when they were like, we're going to commit to, like, basically, we know the horror genre exists in movies and stuff like that, but we're bringing you this horror genre somehow to actually frighten you in a video game.
Yes.
And that's...
I don't like that.
Like I said, I know that this was not the first one because obviously Resident Evil had happened. I'm sure there were some other ones maybe before that weren't as popular, but it's just such a cool function of a game to just try and do that and honestly be so wildly successful at it.
Oh,
Man. So, no, I love this. I'd really be interested in watching some of it because it seems like just from looking at the pictures and stuff, it's just kind of like an upgraded version of the original Resident Evil and everything as far as... Mm. Exploration ability and everything like that.
Yeah, I would say it was very different from your game in that it felt like the level was pretty limited, the playable world, because they needed to keep it to where you couldn't escape it. Some like even in the movie, if you recall, there was like a big, you know, chasm where you couldn't get out of Silent Hill anymore. So
it's kind of like it's kind of like in Resident Evil where you would go to the front door and like you would hear like dogs barking outside or something like that, and you're like, well, never mind.
Oops, so, forget that. Not gonna happen.
So yeah, so I'll tell you what though, one thing that really disappoints me, I know that I heard recently that Netflix is thinking about making a Resident Evil TV series, which I'm very excited about because they won't actually fuck it up, but it breaks my heart when games like this, they fuck them up. Like, video games just never get good movies, and it sucks so much because this one, it would Silent Hill deserved better than what it got. So,
yeah. Well, you don't think the movie was good? I thought the movie was terrifying.
I mean, terrifying. I just thought it was a bad movie.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It still scared the shit out of me. I don't like watching it. Like, I tried watching it a year or so ago, and I was like, I don't want to do this again. Sure. I don't want to do this on purpose. So, Silent Hill. Yeah. Let us never speak of it again.
I definitely like the vibe and the whole like dark and the snow falling and everything like that. So,
yeah.
But anyways, I think that's the end of our court case, fam.
That's it.
We done did it. So again, I'll go ahead and take us out with the where to find us. You can check us out and get your votes in on these on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. Check us out on Instagram at 90s.court, where the poll will be in the story for 90s Court for 24 hours. So you got a little more limited time there. So make sure and get your votes in as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. We are also patreon.com/90s court if you want to join in and become part of our show and support us. And as always, leave us a nice 5-star rating and review on iTunes. We'd really like it. We think it'd be neat. And of course, as I mentioned, check out that merch. Just take a look-see.
tinyurl.com/tpublic90s90s.
Boom.
Do the thing. Get yourself a shirt. Pat yourself on the back for making it through Showgirls.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So. Anyways, Lisa, any parting remarks before we depart?
Don't play Silent Hill. Maybe do.
You know what? Do play Half-Life, or at least one of its different versions. So
I vote for Half-Life as well. So probably don't scare the shit out of me. So that's our episode. Thank you guys so much.
Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Stay rad.